quiere que no me conoce.
Yo estaba en la disco perreando cuando con ella me envolví. Sí, mi mujer me estaba llamando y tuve que darle delete. Y yo que no me dejo envolver, villana, tú me hiciste caer. Es seguro que hasta un ciego puede ver. Y hasta el más santo quiere ser infiel.
Lego.
Cambiamos de escena, hey. De RD hasta Cartagena. Eres la única que me llena. Si tengo yo pago mi condena, nena. Cambiamos de escena, de RD hasta Cartagena. Eres la única que me llena. Si tengo yo pago mi condena.
Somos un par de geeks con un hijo gamer. Right.
Welcome to hour three of the Shukri Wright Show. And this is Shukri Wright alongside with the sports professor in studio today here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Street Farm Radio. Glad you're able to join us on a special edition of the show on a Wednesday afternoon to you, wherever you may be. It's been somewhat of a strange day, a strange afternoon in terms of this whole Cora situation with the Red Sox. And I tell you, here we are, as we now begin to enter the later stages of the day. And I gotta say that at this point, we really don't have any more answers to questions that we have. And I'm sure there's been even more questions that the questions that I feel has been popping up is going to be even more so due to the press conference. Now, I'm on Twitter, and there's a couple of breaking pieces that came out. Well, on a very small scale, though. Time Warner, apparently this was an excerpt that was pulled out from the press conference. He mentioned... And we're gonna get to Bruins talk in just a moment, but I just want to make this last point real quickly. Time Warner says, Alex, by his own admission, played a central role in what went on in Houston. So he admitted to it. So he initially admitted to it. But here's the question, though. What exactly did he admit to what was going on here?
When did he admit it?
That's another great question.
Before they hired him, did he admit it?
Did he admit it just last night?
Yeah, you know, did they know when they brought him in from Houston what they were getting?
And that, I feel like, is something that Commissioner Manfred and all the MLB officials who are investigating this case and this scandal, they got to get to the bottom of that. They have to. And I'm confident, based on what they did in terms of Houston, they're going to do the same for the Red Sox. Because that same question that you just asked, they're probably going to ask the same questions as well. And with that being said, there will be a lot more discussion on this tomorrow morning. Again, for those that haven't heard, I will be back here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. There will be another edition of the Shukri Wright Show tomorrow at 9 a.m. until 12 noon. So if you're driving to work, or just getting into work, or a late morning commute, or whatever, tune into the Shukri Wright Show. I'm gonna continue the discussion furthermore. So stay tuned for that. But for right now, Well, let's talk some Bruins. Because, as I mentioned, there is something that I'm feeling that I'm at a breaking point with this team. Last night, the Bruins lost 3-0 to the Columbus Blue Jackets. But that really was not the headline and so forth. That really wasn't. Not the fact that they lost.
Rask.
It was Rask who got knocked out. No, literally knocked out by, God, the guy's name escapes my head, by one of the Columbus Blue Jackets players.
Hunstrom or something like that,
yeah.
He gave him an elbow right to the head.
Yeah, and knocked him out, forcing him to leave the game, and it was later confirmed after the game last night that he was concussed. But that wasn't the only thing. The thing that really has me disturbed is that no one did anything. No, seriously, nobody did anything. There was no fighting.
They tried to engage the guy a couple of times in fights, and he walked away from it. He just walked away from it.
That just got me mad.
Now, Carlo did push the Columbus guy toward Rask, but the Columbus guy put up his elbow.
Way.
He couldn't avoid going into him, but he didn't have to throw the elbow at him as he went by. He didn't get a penalty on that either.
That is just way too cavalier.
Didn't get a penalty at all.
I'm sorry, but he should have slammed him into the ice and punched his face in. I'm not sorry for saying that on the air, and I'm not one to advocate for violence. But the Boston Bruins of old, and I'm going to come back to this repeatedly during this segment because I am utterly disgusted and angry with the fact that this really has become a recurring theme. It's become a recurring theme with this team this year. This team is soft. This team is absolutely soft. And I don't know about you, but I have seen enough where other teams are taking civil liberties at our best players. Pastrnak and now our goaltender. I don't know about you, but the last night, the lack of retaliation by our players, by the Bruins, was so appalling and so disgusting that I shared a couple of tweets of what the old Bruins were doing. I'm not talking 40, 50 years ago because, yeah, that falls into the equation, but I'm talking about the era of Bruins hockey between 2009 and 2014 where you had a bunch of men who would stand up for each other if you dare toe that line.
It's a different era now. They can't do that anymore. They get suspended.
I don't agree, and here's why. Because you just had St. Louis come into your building and literally bully you for 7 games. For 7 games in the Stanley Cup Finals last season. I don't buy into the whole notion that it's a different game, but it's a lot more tempered. But the policing between players, no, that hasn't changed. This is a team that doesn't stand up for each other. I haven't seen it yet this season. I'll give you another example. There was a game earlier this season in which that players were literally taking runs at David Pastrnak. And this is when he was on his red hot tier, scoring goals.
He's been scoring goals all season.
and this has been a theme for opposing players this season. Oh, you're going to score? Okay, we're going to take a run at you. Let's see what your team does to respond. Oh, nothing? Soft. Punk. Like, oh my God. And I had a chance to listen in this morning, to a program, radio program, and this was talked about. Actually, not once, twice, on two different programs, in which that if Don Sweeney does not address this, or address it by saying, you know, you need a bit more toughness in that locker room by going out and making a deal for a guy who would fit into the mold of what a Bruin is supposed to be about. This team is not winning the Stanley Cup. I don't know if you had the chance to watch, Boston Sports Tonight last night after the Bruins game on NBC Sports Boston. Joe Haggerty, who's a writer, writes for the network. He was on the program and was as angry as I have seen him in quite some time in terms of the fact that this team has gotten soft. This team has absolutely gotten soft, and it's getting to a point where, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here in terms of like sticking up for each other? Because it's getting to a point now where I don't know about you, but it's unacceptable. It's really unacceptable where I can't help but ask, if you're the Bruins, for example, do you think you get to a point where they make sweeping changes or a major overhaul is going to be needed soon? Well, don't you think that's a bit over? No, they might need a major overhaul come soon, because instances where Pasternak is being run over, and then you have your goaltender who gets knocked out, and all you do is try to engage. No. I'm not sorry to say that I'm accustomed to guys sticking up for each other. Because that's what's part of what being a Bruin is all about. I'm used to seeing guys like Andrew Ferentz take liberty at a couple of guys because they crossed that line. They went after a young Milan Lucic. I'm used to Sean Thornton jumping in and taking out a couple of guys by himself. And that's happened before. And I'm interested in getting your thoughts. And do you think that if you're the Bruins, do you think this is a sign of a cultural problem in that locker room, specifically in terms of that locker room? Or do you think that this team just seemingly, for whatever reason, just can't answer the bell when it needs to?
I hate to disagree with you on this point. I'm not in the culture of the Bruins locker room, so I don't know what the culture of the locker room is like.
Sure.
But you don't have these brawls anywhere in the league anymore. Nobody's doing that anymore. Nobody's jumping over. There's no Sean Thorntons. No, those people aren't in the league anymore. Nobody's doing that anymore. It's not just the Bruins. No team does that anymore. It just doesn't happen. So I don't think it has anything to do with the Bruins. It's a league-wide issue. They've cracked down on all that stuff. Nobody does it. They did have a couple of fights earlier this year, and the guys got like 5-10-game suspensions over it. They're just not allowing that jumping over the boards, pounding somebody anymore. It's out of the league. So I don't think it's a Bruin problem. I don't think it's a problem at all. I prefer it that they're not having a brawl, because I go to a hockey game to see hockey, not a fist fight. And it's out of the league that no team's doing that anymore. You can give tough checks. You can give hip checks and knock people in the Killarney by doing that. But you can't do the fist fights anymore. They don't allow it.
They don't even see that. Not even a tough, good old hip check.
A good check. Or, that should be happening.
They should see that.
They should have checked that guy from here to Timbuktu. But you can't jump over the boards and punch him in the mouth. That's not going anymore. It doesn't. That's gone.
Like...
But I haven't seen some good hip checks since way back when Leo Boivin was doing it. The people come in and fly him right over their head. But that's what they should have done. You can't go down and punch him in the face anymore. They don't allow it. And how that guy didn't get a penalty, I have no idea, with the elbow right.
He didn't
get pushed in the ass. That was true, but he flicked the elbow up and hit him right in the head.
He didn't get penalized.
He got nothing out of it.
Nothing.
Now, they couldn't have given him to run into the goalie because Carlo pushed him.
Mm-hmm.
But he threw the elbow, lifted the elbow up
and,
deliberately.
And wham, yeah.
That should have been a major elbow penalty.
But the refs didn't see it.
You can see it on TV pretty clearly without an instant replay, in the game action.
But like the referees, they from everything that I was hearing this morning, they didn't see it until the first intermission.
Too late then.
Exactly. So what are you going to do then?
he should have got a major elbowing. But not somebody should've. Else said, oh, yeah. He ran into the goalie. No, he was pushed by Carlo. That part, he couldn't escape. But he never had to lift the elbow directly into the head. Never. He should have been suspended for that.
And that's the part that gets me.
He might be. You know, sometimes they suspend people that don't get a penalty, the legal review, and still give them a suspension.
Yeah.
He could get that.
It's one of those things where when I think about last night, in terms of just the lack of retaliation, I see it as a problem because, one, I understand the premise that it's a different league and it's a different era and it's a different time. I get that. I really do. But there comes a point where you still got to stand up for your teammate, and you didn't even see that last night.
They were flat last night. I think the hangover from the night before was a killer. That Philadelphia game was a killer. When they had a 5-2 lead late in the second period, lost that game.
That
was absolute killer.
Yeah.
And also, I thought I might mention, to my complete surprise, because I thought he was a nothing player, Noel Achari's up to 18 goals with Florida this year.
Because he's got better line mates.
Is that what it is?
That's exactly what it is.
He's had 2 hat tricks. He's up to 18 goals. I thought the guy couldn't score his way out of a paper bag, and he's lighting it up.
I mean, if you think about who was he playing with last year?
The fourth line, Curley, mm-hmm. I think it was.
Corrali.
Mm-hmm. Corrali and somebody else.
Backstrom. Joaquin Backstrom.
Oh, yeah. Now he's with, is it Troche or somebody's with now?
Oh, Trocheck, yeah.
18 goals. I never thought it. I was shocked.
That's why it's like it's important with who you have
on your line mates.
Yeah.
Well, look, Zach Casey in Edmonton's a nothing. He's just like a goon. He's got like 15 goals because they got him playing with McDavid and Dreisaitl or whatever his name is.
Yeah. I mean, he's not playing on the same line. I don't think he...
He was. Yeah, he was on the same line for a while. They had him on the number one line. Now he's been suspended because he got in a fight and they gave him 5 games.
Because
suspension.
Matthew Tkachuk was being a... He was being, you know... Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And in terms of that, he got what he deserved, but I am just beyond frustrated, beyond belief.
Well, I thought the Philadelphia game, the Bruins
that,
were even worse.
That really...
Game, I think there was a hangover from that last night. I was
really angry after that game. It's not just because Marchand provided an all-time great, hilarious GIF moment.
Right. We're not saying he would have scored. We don't know that.
Right. It's not even because of that moment. No. This is much more deeper than that. And this has been a recurring theme with this team all season long, which is why I'm at my breaking point with this team, is that this is now at least their third or fourth game in which they blew a 3-goal lead and went on to lose this game.
They had one with Florida earlier in the year,
I believe. Yes, they did. They were up 4-0 and lost.
Lost the game.
So I got news for you. There's something very wrong with this team. I'm not fooled by the fact that they're at their third in the league right now in points, but there's something very wrong.
But
mentally,
there's no team you look at, though, and say, oh, wow, they're going to be standing. Last year, you looked at Tampa Bay and said they're going to win it all. And of course, they didn't.
And then there's
nobody right now I'm looking at saying, wow, that team looks super. I don't see that.
Tampa Bay last year
looked incredible last year.
Yeah, last year. But here's the thing. Tampa Bay is the prime example of why you never get overly hyped by regular season success. And I last spring, before the Stanley Cup playoffs started, about a day or two before, and I said verbatim that Tampa Bay Lightning are not winning the Stanley Cup because I believe in the President's Trophy curse. It's real.
Yeah, it's true.
It is very real. And I'm telling you, which is why I also say that even if the Bruins were first in the league, I wouldn't even get excited. And I'm like, this team is flawed.
But it's, all the teams are flawed. There's no perfect team out there right now. Nobody.
If there was, there's only one team that I would say that comes close.
Washington?
Washington.
Yeah, Washington's the only close thing.
Like, but they got skill players, obviously.
But Holtby or whatever, you don't know what you can get out of him anymore. He's inconsistent. Samsonov's the other goalie. He's been doing better, actually.
Yeah. Right, but Samsonov in a way has kind of stolen the show. But Hopi, I mean, he has his streaks.
That's
the thing. And when Washington won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago in 2018, he was just on an amazing run.
He's a free agent this year too.
Yeah. So that remains to be seen how that all transpires and so forth.
But there's no team you look out there and say, oh, they're, I'm scared of them. It's just There's nobody that's that dominant right now, which I suppose is good for the league. Don't get me wrong. It's probably good. You don't have too many trash teams like you have in the NBA with teams that are horrible.
And the teams that... Hold on one second.
And for people who don't know, Vegas fired their coach today and hired the former San Jose coach who got fired last month.
Wow.
Recycling the coaches. Who he's previously fired by Florida and then went to San Jose and got fired there. Now he's in Vegas.
Isn't that something?
But I don't... There's nobody in the NHL that just frightens me right now. Oh, you're playing them, you're going to lose.
Not even St. Louis.
No. No. I mean, they're good.
Yeah.
But they don't frighten me.
I don't fear St. Louis.
I don't
like
fear
I really...
them. I fear Washington more than St. Louis.
Yeah.
And I don't even fear them that much.
I don't think you should.
But I suppose that's good for the league. There's nobody sitting there saying, oh, there's things over there.
They're the prohibitive favorites to win it all, like all that fun stuff. No, I don't see it.
Like the Yankees have been made the prohibitive favorites for next year already by a large margin.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, everything that's going on, especially considering they got Gerrit Cole now, as long as that they're healthy.
Yeah, they're good. And Jahar's back, too.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
But hockey, we got to get back to hockey. Yeah, there's nothing. I don't. You got the standings you're coming up with. There's nobody there that looks overpowering.
Nah, none at all. None at all.
The Bruins can be as good as anybody else. That doesn't mean they're not flawed, but they're as good as anybody else.
Yeah.
Halak can be very good and also stink. The Philadelphia game, Halak didn't save their ass at all.
And neither did Arse. neither did he last night. I wasn't expecting anything out of him last night because he just played the night before.
Right. I mean, he only let in 3 goals, but he didn't make any great saves or anything.
And neither, the offense did nothing to, like, help him at all.
No, not at all.
Like, man, great.
Your thing is frozen, right?
Yeah, this monitor is frozen. That's just strange. Oh.
Shut it off and start over.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to have to do. So, here's a question I'll pose to you. If you look at the four teams right now that are top four in the league, St. Louis, Washington, Boston, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's in the top four?
I believe so, yeah.
Crosby came back last night.
He came back last night.
Scored a goal, too.
He had a 5-point night.
Okay.
And if you look at those four teams, which one of the four would you say would scare you the most should the Stanley Cup playoffs start tomorrow? Go ahead.
Probably Washington, but I'm not frightened. They're beatable, but I would probably be Washington more than anybody else. As I said, there's nobody. I think anybody can win the Stanley Cup this year. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the trade deadline, who's picking up who, because Chris Kreider's out there. I love Chris Kreider, and he's sitting out there as a potential free agent. I think the Rangers are crazy if they don't re-sign him.
Well,
I don't know. They haven't made any offers on him yet, and he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And
you want to know why that is, though? Part of the reason is because the fact that, one, if you look at the Rangers right now, for example, and you say, you know what? They're there, but they're not good enough to compete for a Stanley Cup.
No, they're not. They're not.
Like they're not. So I think what they're thinking, because they know they're going to get calls on Chris Kreider, because he is a legitimate second line scoring option.
Oh, he's good. Kreider's really good.
He's a pretty good right winger.
Kreider's good.
So the thing is, like, they just kind of like waiting to see where they are come February, and then make a decision from there. But right now, I don't think there are any rush to move him or make any type of decision.
To Foley in LA is available too.
Foley's another option too.
Yeah, he's an option. And the Rangers have a problem. They got 3 goalies. They got to solve that and get rid of one. I think they'd probably rather get rid of Lundqvist than either of the Russians. But they got a 3 goalie tandem they're working on right now, which usually doesn't work when you're trying to play 3 goalies at the same time.
Absolutely.
Doesn't usually work. But I think they're ready for Lundqvist to retire because the two Russian guys are really good.
So especially Gorgiev and then another guy that just called up too?
Yeah, from Hartford. He was lighting up the American
Hockey
League.
Yeah, I heard. I read about him.
He's already won his first two games in the majors. They say he's spectacular.
Hmm. I'm interested to see how this all plays out, believe it or not. Because... Uh-oh.
You broke it.
No, it's not broken. It's something I have to do.
He's trying to fix equipment here while we're on the air and trying to do three things at once.
It's crazy because this thing literally just froze. Like, literally just froze, like, out of nowhere. But anyway, I guess we'll just continue on from here on until 3 o'clock. Continue.
Well, let the rest of people worry about it.
I mean, I don't really have much of a choice for right now because, I mean, I can't even put this thing on automation considering that, again, considering that the screen is frozen. It's nothing I could really do right now. At least just yet, in the very least. So... interesting.
Anyway, the people don't care about our equipment.
Yeah, but anyway, so we're gonna continue talking some hockey, like for right now, until we can catch some sort of a breather, and so forth.
Hockey's fired a lot of coaches this year. They go through coaches quickly in hockey.
What's your take on that? Because I've noticed. There has been some crazy carousel this year in terms of firing a lot of the coaches, as you mentioned.
In the NHL, they're firing coaches right and left. Peter even fired Ray Shero, the general manager of New Jersey.
That has happened late last week. And
he's really good. He has a great track record.
And here's the thing. They let go of Peter Laviolette in Nashville.
Right.
Peter DeBoer, San Jose. They let go of...
Hines in New Jersey.
They also let go. I mentioned Peter DeBoer of San Jose as well.
Gallant now in Vegas.
What's going on with the league this year in terms of firing these coaches?
They fire them quick too. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get that.
Yeah,
he's done a lot there. He had a great record with Pittsburgh and Carolina or whatever, and they can him. Julian's in trouble in Montreal.
Yeah.
But it's partly not his fault. I mean, they got Gallagher and Drouin and Armia all out hurt. Gallagher's probably their best player. And, you know, it's like if the Bruins were losing Pasternak and Marchand or whatever, it's tough to win when your big guns are gone.
Yeah, it's hard.
And Montreal's big guns are gone. They've been out hurt for a long time. So they're having trouble up there. And they say, well, Julian's on the hot seat, but when you don't have all the bullets for your weapons, you're in trouble.
It's awfully hard to like bounce back that way, and whatnot. Now
New Jersey's very unhappy with PK Subban, incidentally.
He
got a goal last night.
What is their problem with Subban?
I don't know. They don't have him on the top defensive pair anymore. They say they haven't been happy with him.
Wow, I don't get it.
Because he was great. I was surprised when Montreal traded him in the first place. He's getting $9-10 million a year, and they say they're not happy in Jersey.
So, all right, let's think about this for a moment.
They traded him to Nashville.
Nashville
dumped him on New Jersey for nothing.
So the question is, what's the problem?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a locker room issue or a performance.
That's what I'm starting to wonder because I was hearing rumblings in.
In Montreal
that he was having problems, especially with Max Pacioretty.
Right, and they're both gone.
Yeah.
He does great in the community, but I heard there was problems in the locker room. And Nashville dumped him after, a year or whatever, and got very, very little back for him.
I don't get it.
I thought, a very talented guy.
Yeah.
Boston, they always booed him as soon as he touched the puck. I never understood why.
Yeah.
But he's fallen out of disfavor rather quickly.
I don't know.
And he's still young. He's not old. I think he's about 28. I don't know what he is.
No, he's he's actually turning 30. Actually 30, 31 this year, yeah. He was born in 89. But I got to ask you, in terms of Toronto.
I still think they got a great team, except their goaltending has not been that great.
They got bigger problems than that now. because he lost.
Oh, they got rid of Babcock. There's another coach that went.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about Babcock as well.
And we forgot about the guy in Dallas, Montgomery. He went.
Montgomery. But that one's got a little asterisk next to it because
he was drunk all the time.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Alcohol abuse. He's now in rehab.
Yeah, no. So the coaches have been flying out.
Yeah. Like, wow. Apparently, don't know if you saw this, but Morgan Riley is going to be out for 8 weeks.
Yeah, for Toronto. Yeah, the defenseman.
The fractured foot.
He's one of their best defensemen.
They already were having problems defensively because they are not a defense-first team.
No, they just try to outscore everybody.
Exactly. And now he's going to be out 8 weeks. So the question is...
He'll be back for the playoffs, but, you know...
I mean, 8 weeks, let's say from now, that's basically sometime in March.
Yeah, late March.
Late March, yeah. Now that's another thing. That's a big if, and I do mean if he even, for example, or if the Leafs even make the playoffs.
Oh, I think they will.
I don't think they will.
You don't think so, really?
No. Here's my reason: defense. I don't put this on the goaltending as much as the fact that this team does not play team defense at all. You cannot go into the playoffs thinking that you're going to win with a run-and-gun type of offense. You just can't.
You can get to the playoffs that way. You're not going to win
You
can get to the playoffs, but you're not going to win in the playoffs.
You can, but it's an uphill battle, especially if you're going up against better defensive teams like the Bruins, for example, or even within your own division. Even Tampa Bay, heck, is a better defensive team than Toronto, which is why, like, I don't trust Toronto in terms of the defensive structure or lack thereof. Being able to sustain this type of play, it's hard. It is awfully hard, and especially when you're constantly putting the pressure on, for example, Austin Matthews.
He had a hat trick last night.
Yeah.
God, he's good. He's up to like 35 goals.
Yeah, Mitch Marner.
And Tavares.
William Nylander.
They got a lot of firepower.
Yeah, like they have a lot of firepower, but no defense. You're not going to win that way, which is why I really have them on the outside looking in. And if they get to the playoffs, and should they meet Boston again, because frankly put.
They always lose to Boston.
Because frankly put, I got news for you. That's who they would potentially be playing if the playoffs started today. They're third in the Atlantic. Let's keep that in mind. They're third in the Atlantic with 56 points. Play 47 games.
They're behind what, Boston and Tampa?
Yeah. Something tells me, would they be playing Boston against? Because in the wild card spot, you got Carolina and Philadelphia. They're holding the two wild card spots right now. I expect the Carolina to be in the contention for the wild card spot.
I don't
season
see
again.
Philadelphia there, but
Philadelphia's been a surprise. Now with the news that Carter Hart's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks,
he's going
to
be out.
That's going to be
Brian Elliott's terrible. They brought up Alex Leon to fill in. He's been up before, but he's been marginal.
Yeah, very 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 pedestrian at best. If I'm going to be honest,
well, that's the problem with Toronto. Their backup goalie is Hutchinson, and he's been around a lot of teams. Wasn't he with the Bruins at one point?
I believe he was. Yeah,
Florida. He's been around.
Yeah, he's been around the league. He's traveled around a bit.
He's terrible.
Yeah. So, oh man, I cannot believe this. And you look, just looking at the standings right now. You look in the West. Yeah, obviously St. Louis. They're on top of the league right now. But the petty part of me right now is like, you know what? Let them have it. Let them take the President's Trophy. Go ahead. It just means one thing. You're not winning the Stanley Cup. That's what it means. Even though you're the defending Stanley Cup champions, but...
I think the year Washington won it, they won the President's Trophy, if I'm not mistaken. They didn't win it that year?
That distinction belonged to Nashville.
Okay, that's right. Nashville went out early that year, too.
Second round.
Yeah, that's right.
And the last team to win the President's Trophy, playing a full 82-game season and winning the Stanley Cup that same season, that was the 07-08 Detroit Red Wings team. And that was an all-time great team. When you look and you remember who were on that team.
That had to be an Yzerman team, wasn't it?
This was after the Yzerman, but this was Nick Lidstrom. The legendary defenseman. Lidstrom was on that team. Henrik Zetterberg was there. And also, not to mention, Johan Franzén was also on that team.
Who was the goalie? Not Howard.
No, It was Osgood. It was Osgood.
Oh yeah,
Chris Osgood, and as well as Dominic Hasek. He was a backup.
Dominic
Hasek.
Yeah, he's good.
Well, Hasek's now in the Hall of Fame as well. But you told
Jimmy Howard, speaking of goalies, is terrible.
Yeah, but also I also got to mention this. You also have you had some guy named Pavel Datsyuk. I'm pretty sure you remember that name.
He's pretty good.
The Russian magician.
He went over to play in Russia.
He's in Russia now. Yeah,
he's very good.
Yeah, like he was on that on that 07-08 team that won the President's Trophy and won the Stanley Cup. But I have to also mention, in the same breath, that the Chicago Blackhawks, they also won a President's Trophy and won a cup, but that same season, but it was during a strike-shortened season of 2012-13. It was only a 48-game season. So
those teams have fallen a lot.
Yeah.
Detroit's fallen a lot.
And so is Chicago.
And they still have Toews and Kane and all those guys. They're falling a lot.
Like, I mean, you know, Toews and Kane and Kane still playing at a high level.
They are.
Especially, don't forget Alex DeBrincat as well. Like
he's been great.
He's been great, yeah. He's been
great. And Kubalek or something?
Kubalek, yes.
He's been very good, too.
Yeah, and it goes to show you, like...
They traded for Andrew Shaw, and he's played two games. They picked him up from Montreal, he's played two games.
They try to bring back everybody that was part of the cup-winning core.
He's only played two games.
Hasn't worked. It just hasn't worked. Also... They also brought back, you remember Johnny Oduya?
Oh, yeah, the big defenseman.
Yeah, the Swedish defenseman.
Big guy.
Also, that didn't last very long either.
Well, they still got Shaw. They got to pay him for another couple of years.
Yeah.
They brought him back to help him, and he's done, you know, he's been hurt too, but nothing.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's crazy just thinking about...
Lerner, the goalie there, he said he wants to stay there, but he wants... number one goalie price. He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So I want to be paid as a number one. Because he won the Vezina Trophy or whatever last year, and he said, I want a number
one. You're talking about...
Robert Lerner, the goalie. He was with the Islanders last year. He's with...
You're talking about Robin Lehner,
yeah.
He's
with the Blackhawks with Crawford now.
But he didn't win the Vezina last year. He won the Masterson Trophy.
But he had a great... goals against average last year.
He did.
And he said, I'm tired of taking backup money. I want number one money.
He still hasn't gotten it yet, which I don't get. And now he's in Chicago backing up Corey Crawford.
And he's got a better record than Crawford.
Which I don't understand.
I'm not a Crawford fan at all.
Like, he was good for Chicago when they won the cup in 2013 and 15. But right now, we're talking about right now, my only question is, why isn't Robin Leonard getting more of the playing time?
It's about a 50-50 split right now.
Same thing with Halak and Rask here.
Yeah, it's about a 50-50 split.
Give or take.
A big comeback incident for Carey Price the past couple of games. He was stinking this year.
Oh.
And the past couple of games he's made 71 saves out of 72.
Wow.
That's pretty good in a two-game stretch.
That really is.
70, of course, that's a lot of shots against, too, but he stopped 71 out of 72 in the past two games. Yeah. Obviously, they won them both.
Amazing.
Because Kovalchuk got an overtime goal to win it.
Yeah. Unreal.
Yeah, so he's on a... I don't know if it's going to last because he's not been very good this year.
I'm not sure if it will either. But what I do know is this. Oh, man. That one article that came up on NHL.com, and this one is titled, Holtby and Ovechkin contracts are going to be tricky for Capitals after the Nick Backstrom deal.
And they give Backstrom big money for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, Ovechkin's deal expires... 2021.
Next summer, he's got one more year after this one.
Because remember, he signed that 13-year, $124 million contract in the summer of 2008, and that's about to expire.
They're gonna have to let Holtby go. They can't take that on too.
It was basically gonna have to come down between Ovechkin, Backstrom. And I think they may have a legitimate dilemma on their hands. Because if you think about it, yes, the slam dunk choice is Ovechkin. Now, no one's questioning that. That's slam dunk, but you still need a viable goaltender
They're going to go with Samsonov. They're going to trust the rookie to do it.
Oh, that's a huge gamble.
They can't pay, they're not going to be able to pay Holtby. They're not.
And that's what I'm thinking, especially considering what Ovechkin is going to want.
Right. And they just paid Backstrom. Holtby's gone.
Yeah, and that 13-year deal is basically looking more and more like a bargain.
Wasn't a bad deal. Right.
Actually, back then, if you remember, that 13-year deal was like the first
big one.
The first big one.
Now you can't be, what, more than seven years, something like that?
Yes, yeah, so there's a number. There is a cap number.
For how many years?
For how many years, yeah. For like these max deals. I think who ended up breaking that...
barrier.
Oh, thank God. but for the one who ended up breaking that barrier, remember Ilya Kovalchuk?
Of course.
17-year deal he signed.
He got him with New Jersey, wasn't
he? And then he bolted for Russia and just came back into the league, what, last season?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like 17 years. That will never be done again. Not even McDavid.
Well, DiPietro got, 10, 12 years from the Islanders, the goalie for DiPietro.
Oh, Rick DiPietro, one of the worst contracts in NHL history?
Right.
Yeah.
The former Boston University goaltender.
Yeah.
They're still paying on that.
They're still paying him off. Yeah.
Yeah, they're still paying him. He's still on there.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. When we sit here and we talk about how, just how far we've come in terms of these contracts. And
it's always the length of the contract. It's not the annual value that kills you. They gave them too long, and the players, I take it. If somebody's going to give me a 10-year contract, I take it. But why? I mean, why would they offer them? This Gerald Cole thing with the Yankees, they gave him 9 years. He's 30, almost 31 now. Do you think at 39 and 40 he's going to be throwing 100 miles an hour again?
No way.
I mean,
let's not be foolish. Come on.
What are you doing? It's the length of the contracts that are the killer, not the annual value.
Yeah.
It's the length. They give these guys these humongous contracts, and then they complain, well, it didn't work out. Well, you're the club that gave it to them. Hello? Knock, knock.
Well, who's there?
Yeah, you did it. You're complaining. He didn't live up to the contract. You gave it to him.
Yeah.
What you thinking?
I don't think they were.
I wouldn't give any
they were
of these.
Put it this way. They were thinking with their heart because they wanted to make sure that they paid the guy and the guy got his money.
Well, give him his annual value. It's fine. Nobody's disputing the annual value, but they never last the length of the contracts.
It always falters.
No.
Here's the thing.
I mean, unless the guy's 20, you know. Like, yeah. Trout's contract might last because they signed it. Yeah, he's still in his 20s.
He's only 28.
And he signed on 7 years or whatever, or 10 years. What was it?
No, he got a 13. No. I could tell you. Okay, great.
But he was young enough that it might last if they gave him. It's not too long.
Mike Trout's contract, I believe it was 13 years.
Then that's too long. He's not going to last 13 years.
I could be wrong, but actually it was 12 years, $430 million.
And he was 28 at the time. That'll take him to 40. No, it's still too long. It's a couple of years too long.
I mean, and this was signed in March of 2019, of last year.
Yeah, it's still too long. He's not going to make it to 40 doing that.
Sure.
Although he's awful good.
I mean, he's the best player in the game.
Yeah, he is. No question.
Like, oof.
A couple others are close, but he's the best.
Yeah. Like one guy, I mean, one guy who really has really emerged is Christian Yelich. I mean, can we be switching from baseball, from hockey to baseball again?
Of course, he did the ESPN nude issue, too.
Yeah.
He seems like a hell of a nice guy.
Yeah, I get that impression.
The interviews I've seen with him, he comes over really well.
Yeah.
Not like I'm wonderful. He comes over as a nice guy.
Yeah, for sure.
He's very good. Bellinger's very good. Mookie's very good.
Yeah.
You got some players right up
like
there.
Top five.
Bellinger got $11 million in arbitration.
Like top five for a guy who is really one of the premier players. Like, you're talking about this is the first tier. Like elite of the elite.
Yeah.
Like, and he's only, what, 27, 28? Ooh. Yelich.
Yeah.
Very much good. Just in the prime of his career now.
Yeah.
And not to mention also, When I think about this as well, you begin to look around the game and you see some of the guys who are just entering the prime of their careers, like the young studs, like Louis Severino, for example, and
Soto.
And like Juan Soto is he's like a baby, so to speak, quote unquote.
Boy, talent.
He's 21.
He's got talent. Oh,
unbelievable. He's only 21, and we really saw what he did last year in the World Series.
Really,
and it's just like
seems to have a little bit of an attitude, but
no, I would say flair, not flair, an attitude. Okay. No, not attitude, flair. He's supremely confident, and I love that about him.
Speaking of flair, you notice Yasiel Puig hasn't got anybody to sign on him yet.
Oh,
he's still sitting out there as a free agent. Huh. Speaking of flair and attitude,
I totally forgot.
He hasn't been touched.
Huh. He might end up being one of those who gets a spring training invitation.
I mean, the talent's there. They said nobody wants to. They asked Miami because they thought he'd be good in Miami. And Mattingly said, I had him in L.A. I want him back. Want him back.
Wow.
I can't deal with the attitude. I don't want him back.
Mm.
Because they thought he'd be perfect in Miami to get some fans in the stands. Cuban guy.
Yeah.
Well known. And Mattingly said, no way in hell.
Yeah. Crazy.
I saw watching a game, he was in right field and trying to throw a runner out at the plate, and he threw the ball in the air to the top of the backstop.
Mm.
And he was going, what a great throw I had. Well, the runner scored and everybody else moved up.
But I had a great catch. I had a three throw. Yeah. Woohoo! But you lost.
All the way in the air to the backstop and all the runners, and he was talking about what a great throw he had.
I guess they call him. I see why they call him the. Was it the wild horse or the iron horse?
But
or,
he also has great talent. I mean,
there's no question. But the problem is that he's had great talent since 2013 when he got first called up. But the problem I've had with him is that this talent. What have you done with it?
I wish I had that kind of talent.
I'm sure we all wish we did.
Jeez. He can throw, he can run, he can hit, and then he doesn't even run out hits. You know, he jogs to first. And I'm like, what are you doing?
I can't deal with.
Machado pulled that stuff too, you know? What are you doing?
Like, no. Mm-mm.
What are you doing?
He pulled that stuff, and then he got rewarded with a massive contract before.
Yeah, 300,000, yeah.
And I'm just like, nah. And I was one of those last winner who I was just like, do not by any stretch of the imagination sign that man. But then you had Yankee fans who were just like, you should sign him, yeah.
Where are they going to play him?
Oh, we'll just put him at short? Like, I'm like, are you kidding me?
We got back to baseball in a hurry.
Oh, that's fine. That's totally fine.
But there's so much to talk about in baseball all the time.
Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm just like.
And you got your computer working again.
Oh, thankfully, for now. Keyword for now. Let's see. It looks like the conference press conference had ended. Totally forgot about that.
Well, they probably didn't say anything anyway.
I'm willing to bet against that. Willing to actually bet against that. But I digress. We got 12 minutes left, so we just might as well just like run out the clock, so to speak.
And it's a beautiful day out in the neighborhood.
So are we referencing
yes, Tom Hanks.
Playing. No, the actual man himself, Fred Rogers.
Yeah, Fred. I never go to the movies. I saw two movies this past week.
I haven't seen that.
I saw two movies. I thought one was great. I walked out on the other one. I thought it was awful.
Yes, that reminds me. I just remembered. I was supposed to look for a movie to watch tonight. It's one of those things where. Jeez.
I saw The Two Popes. I thought it was superb.
Oh, yeah?
And I saw Cats and I walked out. The worst crap I've ever seen.
Seriously?
That was awful.
Oh, God. Thank you for giving me the heads up. Don't ever go watch that, please. Not worth the energy.
The Two Popes was spectacular.
Oh yeah?
Loved it.
What was it about?
The current two popes that we have now.
Oh, okay.
Jonathan Pine, whatever it is, that played Pope Francis was superb.
Yeah.
And Anthony Hopkins had a supporting role playing Pope Benedict. He had a much smaller role, but Anthony Hopkins is a great actor.
Oh, for sure.
Great actor.
good
movie.
Yeah. What's your favorite movie?
Of all time? Yes.
Fair enough. Yes.
Before your time, before my time, but I still love it.
Fair enough.
Casablanca.
What year was this?
1943.
Okay.
Before, I mean, even that's older than I am.
Yeah.
But I can see that 10 times and I still love it.
Wow.
Love it. Great script, great acting. Humphrey Bogart, Ingrid Bergman.
Mm.
Surprise ending at the end you never expected.
Yeah.
Love it. If you've never seen it.
I've never seen it.
You've heard of it.
I don't think I have. I don't remember.
You got to see it.
Casablanca.
Got to see it. Okay. The ending will surprise you.
Hmm.
It's set during World War II, so it's...
Oh, yeah, so I would figure, like, okay, yeah, that is World War II.
It's World War II setting.
Gotcha.
In Casablanca, Northern Africa.
I know, that's in Morocco, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's very good. But anyway, back to sports. We got...
Nine minutes.
Anything new happened on the line that we didn't know about?
I'm actually checking it right now, believe it or not. believe it or not, when you talk about...
We didn't cover the Patriots or the Celtics at all today.
Dude, that's because the whole Alex Cora situation has been headlines.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be major headlines coming up when these penalties come down.
For sure, yeah.
It's going to be huge. Watch, see what happens. I bet the ownership's going to get something on this. I'm telling you, they're going to get it.
It's only a matter of time, and it's one of those things.
They got to do it quick because spring training's coming. We got to get managers in here. They got to get stuff done.
Wow. By the way, apparently, I mean, a bit more on a sadder note, a Holy Cross student was killed in a Florida crash involving the women's rowing team. This happened this morning, as a matter of fact.
They were killed rowing?
I'm about to pull up the article now on the Boston Globe. Wow. A Holy Cross student...
It was an automobile accident.
A Holy Cross college student was killed in a horrific crash in Florida early this morning involving members of the women's rowing team, officials said. And the victim that was identified was Grace Retz, 20 years old, was killed in the crash. She was from Uxbridge.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Wow. Like, my thoughts and my sincere prayers goes out to her family and her friends. Like, that's
horrible.
Yeah. And 11 people were also injured, including 7 who suffered traumatic and potentially life-threatening injuries.
Who?
Wow.
That's terrible news.
Yeah. And it's just, yeah, it's sad. This came up about 14 minutes ago on the BostonGlobe.com website. But as far as any thing new that may have been
one thing I should mention,
absolutely,
the Australian Open tennis tournament's having problems. Because of all the fires, the smoke, the players.
A girl went down
yesterday. She couldn't breathe.
Wow.
And she had to forfeit the match because the other person still played. The players are saying that should be stopped. There's so much smoke they can't
breathe.
Why
are they still continuing the tournament? It's beyond me.
It's just starting, and the players are objecting, saying we can't go on like this. The smoke is too much. We can't have this. We can't breathe.
Wow.
Because Australia's just been burning for a month.
More than that.
It's just burning.
More than that, yeah.
And they say the smoke, they can't breathe.
Oh, my God.
And that some of the players said, we're not going to take the court.
And then considering that, considering the people who have respiratory issues.
The girl yesterday collapsed on the court. She couldn't breathe.
Oh, my God.
Wow. And she was close to winning. She only had like a game to go and had to forfeit the match. She couldn't breathe.
Unreal. But my thing is
that... they showed the smoke all over the place. And they're still playing.
Well, when... That's insane. That's absurd. Forget insane. That's actually more absurd more than anything else.
Well, it's like when they played a thing last year when it was 110 and the players said there's got to be a point where, you know, when the temperatures reach a certain level, we're not going to play. I mean, it's
right.
You know, you can't risk yourself.
I don't think it's even worth the risk.
No, the players say we're not going to do this.
Like, that's... My thing is, when is the tennis federation, if there is one, like, when are they going to step up and say, you know what, we can't continue to jeopardize the health
and
the safety?
Plus, the season's too long. They end in November and they start in January. They get December off.
What?
Yeah, they have the finals. The ATP big tournament in London is in the middle of November.
Wow.
And then they got to come back in January for the Australian Open.
Right.
They don't get any time off, and the players are burning out, too.
It's
seasons in all sports are too long. I mean, you got hockey and basketball playoffs in June and July. I mean, come on.
Stop it. That's just hyperbole.
The Red Sox are opening this year March 26th. Right. Really?
The season ends literally on the last day of September-ish. Yeah.
March, we're opening and playing in March. I mean, come on.
I mean, it's not the first time it's happened, but
Am I going to go to Fenway Park in March? No, thank you.
Like, this is why, like, I've been a very strong proponent of the Red Sox and the Yankees not starting the seasons at home.
None of these northern teams should all start somewhere
start
else.
Start somewhere else because
But they should shorten the season anyway. They're too long. It's too long.
It's not going to happen.
It's too long. Too long. They want to make the football season longer now.
I'm not with it. I'm really not.
The players are all banged up by the end of the year. You got half your team on the reserve.
And then you complain about why is the Thursday night on football product so bad because you have these guys coming on short weeks.
It shouldn't play Thursday night football should be outlawed.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like it. I really
hate it.
I don't like it at all. Like I remember a time when it was Thanksgiving, and then the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season, you had a Thursday night game here and there, whatever.
This weekly Thursday stuff.
I don't like it at all.
Get rid of it.
Especially the way that I have it all set up. It's like, why? Like, it's just, oh boy.
All the seasons I think are too long. I'm sorry. I think they all go too long. If they had Colorado been in the World Series this year, good luck. During the World Series, Denver had an average of 15 inches of snow.
Wow.
Now, what if they were in the World Series at that point?
Let's play baseball in the snow, everybody.
When the World Series was playing this year, Denver was under 15 inches of snow.
Wow.
Now, what if Colorado had been in the World Series? What would they have done?
Major League Baseball would have had a major problem on its hands.
Even if you clear the field, people can't get to the game. It's below freezing out. You're going to play like that and get injured?
It's too cold to even play baseball in that.
I'm telling you, the seasons are all too long.
I don't think it has a matter to do with like the length of the season, but rather the geography. The geography is a big part of it. Like,
I know, but if Denver's in the World Series, you can't tell them, well, you're cold, you can't post your game, you can't play there.
Here's the kicker. We get to March, 2 months from now. Opening day this year is
March 26th.
March 26th. And let's say we here got 20 inches of snow. And as you and I know just as well as anyone else here, that's not a far-fetched start at all.
It's possible.
It's very possible.
And you're going to play
at Fenway Park? Like,
no, so you got to postpone it and it backs everything up. The seasons are too long. They're all too long.
It's too much. And then you're asking them to play in a cold. It's just absurd. But
you get the arms get injured. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
It's bad optics all the way around. But
and the hockey and basketball last year ended the June 24th or whatever it was.
No, it ended on June 12th. That was Game 7.
Ridiculous. Too long.
No, not really. It's just about right.
No, too long.
Just about right.
Cut the seasons down. Cut them down.
Nah. I kind of enjoy it that way.
We used to have 154 games in baseball. Now it's 162.
It's only 8 extra games.
But 8 extra games would total probably about 12, 13 days. You're not going to play 8 games in 8 days. So if you're taking, let's say, 12 days off, you take 6 off at each end of the season, you're really making things better. And if you got rid of interleague play, you take more off.
Exactly.
Interleague play is a waste.
Anyway. Used to be a special thing, but it's become watered down.
No, it's just, don't get me going.
Yeah, but at any rate.
We're about out of here. We got to get out of here.
Yeah, I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., 9 to 12 on 91.5 FM WMFO here in Medford.
That's if you're up in time.
Like, that's a big if. We're going to talk off the air. So, without further ado, thanks for tuning in. It's been a absolutely wild day, but a great day at that. This is Shukri Writes. I'll be back on tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. See you then. This is 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody.
91.5 WMFO Medford.